Chapter 10 A Reward for the Children.
You were the one? Joel asked in disbelief.
Yes, I was the one who found the letter, and then left it up here, Don said.
Where did you find it?
Benny wanted to know.
It was tucked inside that antique book my father gave me, Don said.
So that's why you didn't want us looking at the book,
Jesse said.
That's right. I kept the letter in the book, he said, until I brought it up here. I didn't want you looking in the book because I was afraid you might see it.
That day we saw you on the quad, and you started to ask us about the book, Jesse recalled.
By then I'd realized I'd lost the letter, Don said. I was going to ask you if you had seen it. But then I realized I'd better not mention it, or I'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Then Joel spoke up.
So that's why you were so eager to come up here to visit. You wanted to find the treasure.
Yes, Don said. I went up into the tower in the middle of the night to search. I only had a flashlight on, so I didn't think anyone would see me. Suddenly, Violet remembered something.
It was your muddy footprint we saw, wasn't it?
She said, looking down at the sneakers Don was wearing.
I suppose it must have been, Don agreed. When I was searching around up here, I tried to look inside and behind the carillon. I'm afraid I may have broken some of the wires by accident when I leaned on them. I even went up to look at the bells and unscrewed some of the parts to see if somehow a treasure could be hidden inside.
That was a terrible thing you did, Ezra said angrily. It took me a long time to fix the carillon.
Don's face turned red, and he looked at the floor.
I'm so sorry, he said quietly. I wasn't thinking. I'd come so far, and I didn't want to leave empty-handed. I'll repay you for the time you spent repairing them.
What I don't understand is, why were you being so secretive? Why not tell the university what you'd found?
Professor Meyer asked.
I know what I did wasn't right, but I never intended to keep the money. I just wanted to find the treasure.
Don looked at his father.
Still playing detective? Joel asked.
I guess so, Don said sadly. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad all the mysteries have been solved, the professor said. Thanks to the Aldens.
She smiled at the children, who smiled back proudly.
What's going to happen to the treasure?
Benny asked.
We'll have to notify the Chambers family, Professor Meyer said. For now, perhaps we should bring the treasure to the president's office for safekeeping.
That sounds like a good idea, said Jesse.
The next day, the Aldens were getting ready to leave Goldwyn and return home. Their suitcases were packed and ready. The family was just finishing up lunch in the dining hall.
I've enjoyed being here again after all these years, but it will be good to get back to Greenfield, Grandfather said.
I agree, said Jesse. I miss Mrs. McGregor's cooking, Benny said. Look, there's Professor Meyer,
Violet called out as they stood up to leave. Grandfather waved to her and she came right over.
I'm glad I found you before you left, she said. I spoke with Lawrence Chambers last night. He was overjoyed to hear that you had found the family valuables. He couldn't believe it. In fact, he took the first flight here and arrived this morning.
Really? Henry said. Has he seen the treasure yet?
Yes, and it was more wonderful than he'd imagined, the professor said. He'd like to meet you and thank you in person.
The children looked at one another, their eyes glowing.
We'd love to, said Jesse.
The Aldens went with the professor up to the top of the tower one last time. When they reached the top, a tall, dark-haired man was standing looking out the window. As he turned to face them, Violet said,
You look like your great-great-granduncle.
Do I? Mr. Chambers asked.
Yes, Henry agreed. We saw a picture of him in a book.
And you must be the Aldens, Mr. Chambers said. I can't thank you enough for finding my family heirlooms.
It was our pleasure, Jesse assured him.
I'd like to give each of you a small piece of the treasure, Mr. Chambers went on. He held out his hand and showed the children four old gold coins. Will you accept these as your reward? The children were too stunned to speak. As he handed each of them a coin, Grandfather said,
They're speechless. I think that means they accept your offer.
At last, the children remembered their manners.
Thank you, they each said.
As I was saying, it is the sentimental value, not the money, that matters to me, Mr. Chambers said. Last night I discussed with my family what to do with this treasure. As you know, my family has always been very devoted to this university. We will keep a few pieces, but the rest we are going to donate to Goldwyn. We'll be putting some of the antiques, like the goblets, on display.
What about the gold and silver? Asked Henry.
My cousins and I discussed what to do with it, Mr. Chambers said. My great-great-granduncle was quite fond of music, especially the carillon. You may have figured that out from his letters.
Yes, it sounded that way, said Jesse.
My family would like to use this money to add some new bells, said Mr. Chambers.
What a wonderful idea, Ezra said. Thank you so very much.
Our music will sound even more beautiful, Andy said excitedly.
Your great-great-granduncle would have been proud, Ezra said.
Thank you for calling me, Mr. Chambers said to Professor Meyer. Then he turned to the Aldens. And thank you again for finding my family's treasure.
You're welcome, said Henry. Any time you need a treasure found, just call us, said Benny with a smile. We're always ready for a treasure hunt.
We hope you've enjoyed The Haunted Clock Tower Mystery, an Oasis audio production under arrangement with Albert Whitman and Company. Text copyright 2001 by Albert Whitman and Company. Production copyright 2013 by Oasis Audio, under arrangement with Albert Whitman and Company. Oasis audio titles are available wherever audiobooks are sold and on our website, oasisaudio.com.